Mobile.
This afternoon, Patrick.
How are you doing, Keith?
Keeping in there. Just unboxing the Anycombs that showed up today. So, about to have a little programming fun, I think.
I know you are. I've been there, done that.
I don't have software for this, so I'm going to have to... I've only got a little netbook. It's my only Windows machine, so I'm going to have to... get the software downloaded on it and start from there.
Not hard. It's not that bad once you figure it out. And you need the CTS software, depending on the firmware that's in the radio, you need the CTS software to match it.
I'm familiar with programming them, so I don't think it'll be all that bad. I will probably go ahead and do a firmware update on it first.
Before you start, that way it's at the latest and greatest, and you got to worry about losing it doing it later.
Kind of what I had in mind, too. Just go ahead and do it right out of the box. I hadn't checked it yet, so I don't know if Connect Systems puts the latest on them before they ship them or not, but I'll look at that, see what version it's got on it, see what the current one is, and if it's out of date, I'll just go ahead and do that first of all.
Got mine. I had to do a firmware update on it to get it to the latest and greatest.
Good as Bridgecom is as far as customer service, I would think if anybody, they probably would. And I'm thinking the same thing with Connect Systems too, who I bought mine from. Hardly anybody didn't have them in stock. I did find them at Gigapark, and that was about the only place I found them. Had to think about Connect Systems sells them too, so I looked there. And, he had just gotten 20 of them in, was all he had. Okay.
Hard to get a radio right now.
Please. Anyway, K4CHY, go ahead.
What sort of radio are you looking for? Because the last set of handheld radios I got, I went directly to the distributor in Hong Kong. Mobile radios, too, maybe they have. But if you're saying no one has supply, ham radio outlet or Gigaparts doesn't have any? Or for that matter, your fellow ham people don't have any?
Yeah, I was just saying, Connect Systems did have this one in stock, and so did Gigaparts. Just this particular radio that we're talking about, it's a Anytone 878, one of the UV2 Pluses. I've been wanting one for a long time, and I finally broke down and bought one, but I had to wait for them to get in stock first.
What model that could be? What model was this? You're kind of in the static.
Anytone 878, the new model of the 878, over.
2 meter HF, I'm not even sure I know what that is.
Say, it's a dual band DMR radio. Go ahead, Patrick.
The distributor that I mentioned has one made by TYT, which is one of the somewhat better Chinese brands. It's a dual band DMR. And I think they want like $250 for it, including shipping.
Roger, that's actually what I'm replacing with this Anytone. I've got a UV380 that I've had for a while, and I'm wanting this Anytone. It's got apers built into it, and it's got a nice black background screen, which is, the UV380 that I have, there's no way to adjust the brightness on it, so at night it just blinds you over.
Company I mentioned TYT, they were also making, it was a nice one, I think it was actually a quad bander, it was styled something along a, there's, I think, an ICOM or a Yaesu radio that's similar. that was another possibility. And, you know, again, I would look into 409 shop. The number 409shop.com is the distributor in Hong Kong. I've ordered from them before, and again, they generally have free shipping, you know, whenever the hell it gets here. You know, it's got to come from Hong Kong.
4CHY, yep, I'm familiar with 409 Shop. Don't know if I've ever purchased anything from there, but I've definitely browsed them. Like I said, I got this one in today. I guess we lost Patrick, KO4HKX. Here and come back in a while ago. But yeah, I was just getting batteries charged up and going to sit down and start downloading firmware and software to get it programmed up.
It's that DMR radio anyway. $250 for a mobile dual band DMR. It didn't sound so bad. Moto Turbo Tier 2 or Tier 3 or whatever other standards it supports. I don't know if I'm ready to deal with upgrading or jumping into new things right now anyway, but it was, you know, it was kind of a nice one.
They were the king for a long time. Man, when those MD380s hit, I guess that was kind of the first Chinese DMR radio when they hit. Everybody you talked to was on the speaker, MD380. I encourage you to also look at Anytone because they also have a mobile radio that's a 578. And they've got a tri-bander. I don't know about a quad-bander. I'm not sure about the price on it. The HD that I bought is 878UB2+. It has GPS and Bluetooth built in. And it was like $300 over.
Sounds so bad. I don't know that I'm ready to jump into DMR just yet or not. You know, I'm pretty much nowadays barely on the air as it is. You probably haven't heard me on the 9 o'clock net. Oh, I don't know, probably in months. It just always seems like it doesn't sync up to my schedule or it's past my bedtime or something.
Sir, I don't know how that goes. Life gets in the way. And me, if I don't... usually I'm sitting here around 9 o'clock, so I'm sitting in front of the radio, but anything else, if I don't set an alarm or a reminder or something, then I will slap forget about it. Over.
To be my age, afternoon nap suddenly becomes vitally important. Of course, if you take a 2 or 3 hour afternoon nap, that kind of throws off your sleep schedule quite a lot. So, I'm up at 6 a.m., I'm back asleep, I'm up again at 10 or 11 a.m. You know, my sleep schedule is all fracked up at this point. I'm not really sure how to get back to what used to be normal. I guess if you don't have classes or a job to go to, it gets to the point where it almost doesn't matter.
Sir, I am looking forward to having that problem, that's for sure. I tend to be a night owl anyway, and so when the weekend gets here or I have a vacation, my schedule always creeps later and later and later. I guess my circadian rhythms are clocked away from everybody else's or something, because that's just the way my body operates, I guess. So, yep, I know what you mean there.
For some reason have a 24 and a half or 25 hour circadian rhythm. I don't know why, but subjects placed in an isolating environment where they had no clocks and no day or night, they eventually settled into like a 25 hour cycle or 24 and a half hours. So how you reset the clock, I guess my clock needs major resetting. And, you know, not taking that long afternoon nap might help. But if you don't sleep properly at night, you know, and you're up during the day, and then you're, you know, That's actually one of the things I got to do now. I got to go to the lumber yard to get some lumber to rebuild the bed frame that broke. Because right now I got the mattress pad sitting on the floor. So if I build a new bed, maybe I'll sleep a little bit better.
That, and I guess any kind of regular schedule, I mean, that's what does it for me anyway. And I think you're exactly right, because that sounds about a 25-hour schedule sounds about right, because I'll shift an hour or so every night that I'm off, and, you know, then come, if it's just a weekend, come Sunday, I've got to kind of force myself to go to bed so I can get up for work. Like I said, I'm looking forward to not having that problem anymore, but it's going to be a few more years anyway, not too many. And your call sign was Kilo Bravo 2 Bravo November Golf, is that correct?
To 2 Bravo November Golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I don't even, you know, I would never want to change it, because now I wouldn't remember the new one. Like, if I upgraded my license to, let's say, Extra, would that change the call sign, or does the new call sign continue? that's one reason I wouldn't do that, because I'll barely, you know, I can only remember one thing at a time.
2BNGKN4CHY, yep, I know what you mean there, too, and I believe, if you don't request it, I think you retain your current call sign. But you can request to have it either be reissued, have them issue you a new call sign with your upgrade, or you can request call signs and see if you can get one of those. But if I'm not mistaken, I know when I went from Tech to General, I just stuck with the same call sign, so I'm pretty sure you can go to Extra and do the same thing. And I'm kind of torn. I'm like you. I've got badges with this call sign. All my radios have a label on them with this call sign. I'd like to have something a lot shorter, but I don't know about getting used to another one and relabeling everything over.
Just whichever one came out of the random number generator, you know, it's got no special significance. It's just, I'm too old to remember anything else at this point. let's see, that's already more than 10 years old, so, yeah, I think I'll hang on to it.
And, I already had a memory impairment anyway, so... Yeah, definitely. As I've gotten older, I've noticed it getting worse. Let's leave a little break and see if Patrick ever got back in. KM4HKA, still out there?
KO4HKX, sorry about that, guys. I had to jump out and get some fuel.
That too in a minute or two. Yeah, memory impairment. I don't even want to discuss what happened to me earlier today with memory impairment. Let's just say cleaning out the car, which was months, you know, been due for months, I found a check for $12,000. Which, yeah, there's memory impairment or cognitive impairment. I mean, I actually at one point had to call down and have the check replaced. But when you start forgetting stuff like that, then you got to start to really worry.
Definitely forgetting something.
Amount to let fall out of the memory bank there, that's for sure. But I have done the same thing, and didn't know where it went to. And it was almost the exact same scenario. I was cleaning the car out, and the envelope had slid down in between the seats. But it was only about a tenth of what you had there. So, I had to go through the same routine. By the way, the name here is Keith, Kilo Echo India Tango Hotel, and Patrick is KO4HKX.
I remember names and voices sometimes. sometimes call signs, you know. Yeah, but I mean, I was shocked. I'm thinking to myself, okay, at this point, Glenn, you really got to go into a home. Somewhere they make sure you're fed and dressed and, you know, they've got bingo every Friday night. You know, on Wednesdays at 4, we all sit and watch Matlock, and there's always a bunch of picture puzzles and crosswords we can put together. So I'm seriously at that point. If I had this check all this time and I did not know, you know, I just tore it up and threw it away because, you know, it had already been replaced. It's already been deposited. But maybe it's because I didn't recognize it for what it was. It was coming from the return address. Some said something like clerk of circuit court or something like that. And maybe that's why I thought it was something I didn't. Anything that sparked clerk of court, sheriff's office, police department, district attorney's office. I'm not sure it's something I want to open.
Ain't no telling what might be in those.
We could have at least looked at it. And then I would, well, you know, the paper behind the window envelope should have told me something. It was like, you know, check colored. So, but, you know, yeah, that shocked me. I'm starting to think, yeah, now you really, your cognitive abilities are really taking a hit. You know, you got to check into the old folks' home.
I look at it with a long-term memory impairment, like I was talking about. As long as you still got your health, you can do other things to get by that, like, you know, open the mail when it comes in and make sure it's not a tick. But yeah, I think as long as I still have my physical health, I mean, you know, short of Alzheimer's or dementia or something like that, as long as I have my physical health, I think I'll try to do it on my own.
I'd have something to do with retirement or, you know, retirement. You know, as an engineer, I used to be able to keep the details of a dozen projects straight in my head. And I would remember some obscure thing about something everyone else on the project seemed to have forgotten. In fact, I almost never used to write things down. A habit which didn't always serve me in good stead. But, you know, I had that kind of memory. And now, you know, if I could figure out the, if there's more than two steps involved in doing something, and I can figure out what they are and put them in the right order and do them in the right order and not leave out any of them, you know, I'm doing okay.
I know what you mean. I'm a process engineer, so I can tell you how to manufacture a part and get it out the door, but as far as remembering, alien processes to what I'm accustomed to, that's another story. I've always got a piece of scratch paper or notepad or something with me to jot stuff down. If I don't jot it down, by the time I get back to my desk, I won't remember it. Go ahead, Matt.
Always looking for something to write on so I can jot down notes. That's why I keep a notepad at the desk in the tool truck and something to write on when I have to go in the shop, because I'll forget it by the time I walk out.
Engineer do. I had an uncle on my mother's side who he was a production engineer. Was a production engineer or materials engineer? A production engineer, I think, is, you know, how do we actually manufacture this thing? Yeah, he worked, I never knew him. I only met him once or twice. He worked on Long Island in Grumman in the 1960s. Now, I don't know if you know what Grumman was working on in the mid to late 60s on Long Island, but, you know, I like to think that part of it is still on the moon.
After that, Process engineer is basically what you were talking about. Is what my company calls it. It's basically production engineer. I take raw material and send it through the shop and get finished products out the door at the back end to get paid. I'm familiar with Grumman. Kind of historically familiar with what they were doing up there. I actually worked for a offshoot of Grumman, which was used to be the Grumman Gulfstream, which ended up being Gulfstream Aerospace down in Atlanta.
Disappeared sometime, I think, in the 90s. Did Raytheon acquire them? Or no, who did acquire them? In the mid to late 60s, they were designing and building the lunar module, in case that wasn't a clue. So I like to think that, that his work had something to do with that. You know, it's a team effort. Hey, you know, the people who made the lunch in the cafeteria were part of the project, as far as I'm concerned, because the engineers had to eat something. Anyway, let me go refuel, and I'll talk to you later. It's KD2BNG.
Man, KO4HKX.
Give us a holler when you get back. I've got to pull out the old netbook and see about downloading the software and see if I can't get this thing going. What you doing out mobiling around, Patrick?
A couple of friends and just spent some time with them today. Nothing out of ordinary. Now I got to rush home and go to my wife's family get together.
I was meeting up with an old friend and meeting a new friend, another fellow ham operator. MD380 was going to get it programmed, but he had trouble getting the CMR ID, so we got that straightened out. I brought the radio home. I'm going to go ahead and get him a code plug built where he travels to. When he gets ID,
with the same problem I was at the house until I got my antenna and all put up.
So, what was the model of that antenna that you got? I'm kind of interested in the beam operation. Hearing y'all talk about sideband and stuff, I'd be really interested in doing something like that also.
I don't know. I bought it from AK's estate when he went silent key. And I know all I know is it's a Chriscraft, a 13 element.
That's a good start on where to look. Is the rotator you have, is it like, you know, the big ones that you see, or is it smaller for that beam, or what?
One of the bigger rotators, but I honestly think you could get away with one of the smaller ones because it's not heavy at all. If that's all you're going to be rotating. And if you'll take down my phone number, I will send you a little video of it.
Give me a minute. I don't have a notepad.
That
paper tablet that I use, that's a notepad nowadays. So do it all electronically. All right, I'm ready. Patrick, go ahead.
It is 828-606. 7730.
Got it. Yeah, I'll send you a text here. Are you on an iPhone?
I'm on Android.
Yeah, sending the video might be a little much on over text, but we can still do it.
Your email, I can do it that way, either one.
That's pretty easy. Kilo November 4, Charlie Hotel Yankee.
Your call down yet? I just recognize your voice when you come back to me.
Yeah, I'll give you send you a text and give you my email address.
That way I can just send it to you. And I've got a picture of the label that's on the antenna. I'll see if I can't dig it out and send it with it.
Yeah, probably just knowing it's a Cushcraft and 13 element, I'd probably find it. But I think I heard it was you was talking about you made a sideband contact in like Maryland.
Andrew.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's always interested me. Of course, this D700 can't do it, but I've got a Yaesu 857 Delta that'll do sideband on VHF. But yeah, that is very interesting to me.
Pretty neat that you can get 2 meters to go that far just by cutting the carrier away and all that. I mean, that's just amazing to me.
Roger. And I was looking at, I don't know if you're into QRP stuff. QRP Labs come out with a digital model. It's like QCX. And he does the same kind of thing. He's only generating, the sideband portion of it. So it's a lot more efficient and super clear, because he's doing it all in with the software and the hardware. So I've been thinking about ordering one of those too.
3 HF radios are all band, all mode radios at the house that are capable of it. So I think I'm good for right now.
Sounds like it. Yeah, I've got a 7300, which doesn't have VHF and UHF, but I've got that 857 that does. So that's the only one I've got right now that's capable of it. But yeah, I was thinking the QRP Labs radios are pretty cheap. And probably about $100 with a case and everything. And you can, they're easily portable. So I'm looking at retiring here in a few years, and we hoping to do some camping, RVing, and that will be one of my pastimes while we're out RVing. Over.
It'll be fun. Just spending your time sitting in the camper or outside enjoying the radio. Yeah, that would be good.
I've got an old high school buddy, not the only one I've ever kept in touch with all these years. And he's out in New Mexico. He's got a good bit of property out there. And plus all the BLM land and things like that. That's kind of my idea of what I'd like to do.
After that, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to retire by the time I get there.
And I tell you, it looks a little shaky, but I've still got probably 5-6 more years to go, and hoping it's still going to be there. I'm close enough, I can sure taste it, though.
In the Nevada?
I miss that.
640 acres of land near Carlin, Nevada?
I can't say yeah, but I wouldn't really say no either.
I even bothered. I mean, it's not like I don't anticipate really getting out there at this stage in my life. Besides, you're still going to have to drill a well. You're still going to have to find some way to either run over power lines or generate your own power. When I said 640 acres of land, that's basically what it is land. But, to build your ranch or whatever you want to build, it might be nice for somebody. I had an offer on it a while back by some guy who basically wanted to divide it up and build like campsites. you know, for so X number of dollars, you permanently own your own campsite. But, yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere, near the closest town is Carlin, Nevada, a city of like 1,500, 1,600. And, in fact, I think the parcel of land is bigger than the town. It's 640 acres would be about a square mile. But, you know, I'm looking to, I've been looking to get rid of it, but it doesn't seem to be a lot of interested parties. But if you want to move to Nevada,
that I do on that one. But Keith, Glenn, I'm gonna have to jump out. I'm getting ready to cross the state line, so I'll be in what I call the black hole up here. So y'all, you gentlemen, have a good afternoon. Enjoy talking to you, and I will be clear. 7-3s.
Patrick, 7-3s, be careful on your way in. We'll catch you later.
I could do something, or I could sit here in the car park.
Yeah, I'm at the parking lot at Lowe's.
So I guess I'll get the materials I need to, yeah, I told you, I broke the damn, I must be getting up there in weight, because I broke the damn bed frame. It was one of those futon frames. It was made out of tubular steel, but, you know, as we get older and heavier, I guess, one day at some point the, you know, metal fatigue got the better of it. And the mattress pad is sitting on the floor right now, which is fine. But if I build a platform, it's easier to get out of bed.
Four CHY. Yep. Yeah. Either getting up in weight or just sleeping really hard. Nick can't handle it, I guess. Well, I'll let you go. Like I said, I'm on the. Start in on getting this radio program, so good talking to you, Glenn, and good to meet you. I've heard you on before. I don't know if we've talked, but anyway, we'll catch you later and have a good day, and we'll look for you to be around here again. 82BNG, KN4CHY, back to you.
All right, 82BNG. All right, good QSO. Let me go into the lumber department and get the materials before I forget what the heck I'm doing. 73s, you take care.
OHU, this is KO4 SSN.
KO4 SSN, KG4 OHU.
Well, what's your location?
We are almost done.
Can you tell the elevation you've gone down hill there because you've got some background noise?
Clear side of the repeater right now. That's
tough. Transmission, I couldn't really understand you, but sounds like you're on the back to the car.
Depending right now, I got maybe half mile left at the most.
Okay, yeah, just let me know when you get back. KO4, SSN, clear.
Way too clear.